We thank you, honor you, reverence you, giving you the glory and the honor and the praise, saying you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hosanna in the highest. Father, there's none like you, none to compare to you. We thank you on tonight. We have the privilege of sharing from the mighty word of God. Hallelujah. Father, your words got every answer we need. Your word has all of the answers. And thank you, Father, your word is no dead, dried up book with just dead men's words, but your word is alive. Your word is active, quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our lives. Tonight, Father, we embrace the mighty word of God. And we know your word is just dripping with the anointing. And we apply faith to the mighty word tonight. So change us, mold us, shape us. We know your word is prevailing in our lives. Your word's prevailing in every area of our lives. And as we're here tonight, embracing the word, your word is working. Your word's at work. Thank you for the good Holy Ghost tonight. He's our great helper, the great paraclete. Thank you, Father God, for the great helper. He's our comforter, our counselor, our guide, our standby, our advocate. He's our truth revealer. He's our peace giver. Hallelujah. Thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost. The mighty Holy Ghost. Thank you. You didn't leave us as orphans. You sent the Holy Ghost to help us. We thank you for that tonight. Father, we are all your people. This is your pasture. We are your sheep. And so we say unto you, feed your people, Father, that which you've laid upon our heart for tonight. Feed your people. Speak a mighty word to everybody listening. Those in this live service, those listening through some other way, some other venue, speak a mighty word to every heart, to every hearer, to every listener tonight, Father God. And we'll be so careful to give you all of the glory and the honor and the praise. Thank you for unction. Thank you for utterance tonight in the Holy Ghost. We give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord? Praise God. Shake hands with one more person you didn't get to shake hands with, and you can find your seat. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Marvin, Pastor Marvin mentioned about the announcement about the angel tree, and so he asked if I'd say something about that. I'd be glad to. We are in that part of our holiday season already where we're getting ready to. Actually, we have 206 kids who have parents who are incarcerated, and we're inviting them to a party here at the NRC. And at that party, we give them free cake and punch, free pictures with Santa. We let them skate till their wheels come off, and almost. And then we give them presents bought by our church members, and we ask you to go and get the angel representing that person. And on the little symbolic angel they give when you sign up, then there is already a note from the incarcerated parent to the child. So you're not only giving your present to the child, you're carrying the note that the parent wrote themselves that's on that angel to the child. And then you're reading the note. This is what your daddy wants to say to you. This is what your mom wants to say to you. And so a precious time. And so that party we're going to do on the 9th of November. And so we're giving out the angels today until they're gone today and Wednesday and then next Sunday. We started with 206. I think we're under 50 now. So they're all out in the West Lobby. If you'd like to go and make a difference, help somebody else, and take your eyes off of you, put your eyes on somebody else, help somebody else to have a joyful Christmas. I got hooked on Angel Tree the first year. Pastor Mrs. Hagen asked me to start this back in 2005. We've been doing this party over here since 2007. And I got hooked the very first year. At that time, we were delivering. You know, the normal program is you get the gift, you deliver it to the person's house. But sometimes people live far away, and so after the first year, then we started saying that we got all those big campus over here. We just have them all come out here and get their gifts. But that first year we did, that first 2 years we did deliver the gifts out, and I never forget going to one precious child's house and getting out of the van with the present, and a little girl ran out and said, "You have a present?" And I said, "This present is for so and so," and she said, "That's me." And I said, "I got a present from your dad." And she just started crying. She said, "It's my birthday." And as she was weeping, I read her the little message from her dad. I got hooked on Angel Tree right away. So anyway, we have about 50 more of these angels left out here in the West Lobby. So go on out after service and grab one. All the instructions will be self-explanatory, and you'll be blessed as you do that. Amen. You have your Bible tonight. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter, if you will. 1 Peter, I'm reading from the New American Standard on tonight and asking the Lord, Lord, what do you have for your people? How many know God's always got something good for his people? Amen. Whenever God has never failed to feed his people. He's never failed to feed them naturally. And listen to me, he's never failed to feed them spiritually. Even when Israel found themselves wandering in a desert, God never failed to feed them. They thought he was going to fail to feed them. They began to weep and moan and complain, and they thought God wasn't going to feed them. They got 3 days into the desert. They didn't find any water. They thought God wasn't going to give them something to drink. But he did, and he fed them, and he gave them water over and over again. He fed them and took care of them. And God's always got a word for his people. He's got a word for you tonight. If you believe him, you'll trust him. Amen. You'll pull on the gift. God's got a word for you. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, everybody say chief shepherd. Yeah, that's the Lord Jesus. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Verse 5, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. The Bible says in verse 5 there, you younger men, likewise, be subject to the elders, to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6 again. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. I want to draw attention tonight to the word in this area of humility, and asking the Lord what to share tonight, and what to just felt impressed to go this direction tonight about humility. First, Peter here gives an explanation, gives an encouragement and admonition to the younger men, and says it's good to subject yourself to the older men. And humility should be something that exists in every part of the church. Amen. Humility is something that should exist at every level of the church. And here he tells the young men, look, submit yourselves to the older men. Why? There's things you can learn from them. But you see, if you're not humble enough, then there are certain things that you will miss. If you don't humble yourself, there are certain things that you will miss. And sometimes we think we know things, and what we really need is to humble ourselves. I remember years ago when my dad was alive, and we were on the phone talking, my dad, we were talking just about general things in life, and he was giving me some of, just good advice, and it was things I had heard all my life, things he had told me all my life, things that I knew backwards and forwards. My dad had taught me things, and I could quote him what he was going to say. I could have finished his sentences, and I was practically doing that, and I was actually telling him, Dad, I know, and he was telling me something else, and he said, I know I've told you this before, son, and I was saying, Dad, I know about that, and he said, yeah, and I said, Dad, I know, and the Lord really checked me on that. When I got off the phone, the Lord, he really corrected me on that. That what my dad was saying, I knew I could have quoted, but what I needed to demonstrate was humility to just say, sure, Dad, tell me that. Let me tell me that again, or let me hear it. Just an ounce of humility, And so in subsequent conversations, when my dad would tell me something he'd told me all my life, something that I knew, I'd say, oh, Dad, he'd say, son, I don't know if I've ever told you. I'd say, oh, tell me, Dad, tell me about it. I could quote it. But A humble heart can take you a long way as a Christian, as a believer. Amen. And so there is two things we want to talk about tonight. We want to talk about a vertical humility. That's humility as it concerns you and God. All of us have to be concerned about that humility vertically. And then humility horizontally, that's humility as it concerns us and everybody else around us. That's how we respond and treat other people. And there is a way to bring God on the scene, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation is tonight. There is a way to so quickly bring God on the scene to help you. He will rush to your side. But what precedes him helping us in any situation is our own humility. Can I get an amen there? And let me just say this off the bat. Humility. The first thing about humility, the first characteristic of humility is always honesty. You can't lie and be humble at the same time. Now, a person can lie and be full of pride, but you can't lie and be humble. The first aspect of humility is honesty. It's honesty. So the Bible says, verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. How many glad God cares for you? Aren't you glad he cares for you? A lot of times we lose sight of just how deeply he cares for you. You know, Lord, want me to remind you tonight, he cares more for you than you have ever known, than you have ever realized. The Lord is in love with you. You are the apple of his eye. You are the center of his attention. There is nothing God wouldn't do for you. Nothing he wouldn't do to help. I'm talking about you. Nothing the Lord wouldn't do to help you. He loves you. Amen? Amen. The Bible says he cares for you. And when you care for somebody, you don't watch them. You can't be around somebody that you care about and you see them with a burden and you just let them carry the burden. You understand what I'm saying? When you care about somebody and you see that they're burdened, when you really care, you reach out and say, hey, let me help you carry that. I remember I've said this story before. I was in Memphis, I think it was in Memphis, Tennessee. And I was there for a business meeting. I saw an old lady and she was trying to get her bag off of the, you know, the conveyor belt after we got off the plane. And I didn't know her. She didn't know me. And I'd seen her bag. I was still waiting on my bag. I hadn't seen my bag once, but I saw her bag go by twice. And she tried to get it. She just couldn't lift it. And then it went back around and under. And then it came back around. And she tried to lift it and went back around and under. I'm still waiting for my bag. And I saw her bag come around that third time. And so I said, ma'am, let me get that for you. And I just reached down to grab her bag. She thought I was robbing her. So she started hollering, screaming, help, 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 help. I was like, oh, Lord. And then she realized I was just trying to help her. And she said, son, I'm so sorry. She said, but these young people today will knock you in the head. And they'll take your bag too. And she said, I'm so sorry, baby. She said, I didn't realize you were trying to help me. I said, I saw your bag go around twice. She let me carry her bag outside till I had to go the other way. And she let me carry her bag for her. But when you love somebody and you see somebody struggling, you'll reach out. If you really care about them, you'll reach out and help them. And so God, in his love for you, doesn't want you to be burdened with anything. Doesn't want you to be laden down with anything. And so the Bible says he cares for you. So what do we do? Cast all our cares on him. Why? Because he cares so much for you. He don't want you worried. He don't want you in fear. He don't want you fretful. He don't want you wondering. He don't want you up at night losing sleep. God cares for you. And if you'll do what he said, hey, humble yourself and cast your care on the Lord, he'll carry that burden. I said, you can sleep good while the Lord, he carries that burden. Amen. And so thank God that he cares for you in that way. He cares so deeply for you. Now, your adversary will try to burden you. Your adversary will try to scare you. Your adversary will try to do those things, but not your Father God. And the Bible says this, if we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, that he will exalt us. Go with me real quick. We're going to turn real quick tonight. Go with me to Deuteronomy first, because there are times when a person doesn't listen or when people don't listen, and the Lord finds the need to humble someone, and he can do that. How many know God knows how to humble people? Anybody ever had the Lord have to humble them? The Bible says he loves you. He loves you and I. But listen, the thing that God wants you and I to do, the Bible always says this about humility. We are to humble ourselves. God doesn't want to humble us. He wants us to humble ourselves. But when one of us won't humble ourselves, guess what? We are still his children, and the Lord knows that. Now, thank God he's not humbling us with sickness and disease. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. Thank God. We've learned, you know, through the mighty word that God's not humbling people, just throwing sickness and disease on. Aren't you glad about that? Right. No father would do that. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, did I tell you to go to chapter 8? Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll start at verse 2. We're talking about humility tonight. Now we're talking about how, if necessary, the Lord doesn't want to. The Lord tells you and I, humble yourself. Humble yourself. I don't want to humble you. Humble yourself. But if necessary, he knows how to humble us. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, talking to Israel, that he might humble you. See it there? Testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Look at verse 3. He humbled you and let you be hungry and led you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live on bread alone, but everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You can see that Israel had to go through a time of humbling. And the scripture says here that God humbled them. He even let them go hungry. Now, it doesn't say he let them starve. Amen. Because as a matter of fact, they were being so disrespectful. They were being so prideful. They were being so arrogant that he caused quail to come from the north, the east, the south, and the west. The Bible said they had so much meat, it was coming out of their nostrils. But he bought water from a rock for them. He gave them manna from heaven. And so he fed his people. He constantly fed his people. The scripture also says that their shoes didn't even wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. And you can see that. Look at verse 4, Deuteronomy 8, 4. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell those 40 years. The Lord, he provided for his people. But because of their disobedience, listen, he humbled them. But thank God the best way is when we humble ourselves. Go with me to 2 Chronicles now. 2 Chronicles. It's chapter 7, famous passage of scripture, right at verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7, 14. God says this, "And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land." And so, how many know, our country needs this bad today? we're living in the midst of, we need, our country needs this right now. But God said, hey, if my people will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. There's something about when we begin to humble ourselves where God can reach out and help us. The Bible said God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. Go over to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, talking about humility. Proverbs 16. First, we'll take a quick pit stop at verse 7, but we're really going to verse 18, right? Proverbs 16, verse 7, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Praise God. And verse 18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before stumbling. It's better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." You show me somebody who's prideful, somebody who won't humble themselves, and guess what? I'll show you somebody who's about to stumble, somebody who's about to fall, somebody who's about to make a big mistake. Go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. We're talking about humility. Matthew, chapter 11. Actually, when we humble ourselves, we are following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. One of the great characteristics about our Savior is he was humble. He is a humble Savior. At Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that something? The Lord's yoke and burden are light. But guess what? He carries all of our burdens. Our burdens seem heavy to us, but he carries every single one of them as we cast our cares on him. But he said this. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Normally, when you see the word humble, you see the word gentle right next to it. Gentle is usually in close proximity of the word humble. Because gentleness is how humbleness is displayed. Humbleness is demonstrated through tenderness, through gentleness. And Jesus said, hey, I am gentle, I am humble. And so that's how we learn of him. That's how we follow in his footsteps, to follow in humility. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now, let me just say that, you know, the Lord, he always will help us as far as he can. The Lord always helps us as far as he can. And but the reason that we have to humble ourselves is because if we humble ourselves, guess what? God is going to cause his grace to abound in our lives. Here, Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Then verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each the measure of faith. The Bible says here, don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And that's, how many know that's important? Now, let me just say this, because, you know, because of who we are in Christ, how many know we are, God has so blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, so it's impossible not to think highly of ourselves in the Lord. In the Lord, we have to think highly of ourselves. It's not because of anything we've done, it's because of what he did. Can I say it that way? I said we think very highly of ourselves based on our redemptive realities and what Jesus has done for you. He's done so much for you. You would be remiss if you didn't think highly of yourself in light of all that he's done for you and I. I said, amen. Amen. But as it concerns us, and from a natural perspective, we ought not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And even over in the spiritual realm, in Christ, we better remember who did all that. Christ did that. We didn't do it. I said, he did it all. Amen. And so the scripture there, speaking of the importance of humility and how we think about ourselves. Go with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Talking about humility. Galatians 6 at verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Now listen, in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. There it is again. Look, you say, I didn't see the word humility in there. Look, it's in there. In the New American Standard, you have to read between the lines there. At verse 1, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. It means gentleness and humility. Actually, if you go look at the New Living Translation or the Living Bible, it says restore the person gently and humbly. And so the other versions bring out gently and humbly. Whenever you see that word gentleness, humility is not far from the word gentle. But the Bible says, hey, if we're spiritual, we're going to restore people. How are we going to do it? Humbly. Now, you know, there are times people do egregious things and the Bible doesn't condone sin from any of us. I said, amen. Jesus paid the price so that we could be forgiven from sin. Aren't you glad about that? But the Bible doesn't condone sin. Thank God he's made a way for us to be redeemed. And then if we make a mistake, he's made a way for us to get right. Amen? And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So the Bible says, hey, even if we're helping somebody recover, somebody's made a mistake, do it with humility. Don't do it looking down at them saying, well, you know, I never would have done that. Well, how could you have done that? You got to be stupid to do something like that. Hey, it'd be better to be humble about it because the Bible says, hey, but we better watch ourselves lest we're tempted. What we should say is, hey, except it be for the grace of God, maybe there go some of us. Thank God for his grace that's kept us. Amen? And so humility is so very important, even as we look to those around us and as we seek to restore those around us. Go with me to the book of Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Paul says, we've been called with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Again, that horizontal humility toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, showing tolerance for our brothers and sisters in Christ, that humility and gentleness. We're just going real quick. Now go with me to Philippians chapter 2. We're coming out of Galatians 6 into Ephesians 4, now into Philippians 2. Verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And for this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Again, the power of humility as seen in our Savior. For Jesus to assume a robe of flesh, think about it. It was humbling. He humbled himself to do that. Here, the Creator became a part of his creation. The Bible says twice there, he humbled himself, being found in appearance as a man, being found as a man, being found in appearance as a man. It was humbling for him to do that. But why did he do that? He did that so that he could redeem us. Without his sacrificial humility, we would not have been redeemed. Aren't you glad? He emptied himself of all of his rights and privileges. He said later before they arrested him, he said, I'm laying my life down. You're not taking my life. I'm laying it down. He humbled himself and laid his life down. Why did he do that? Because he loves you and I like that. And he has set an example which every single one of us will not grow in Christ without humility. Every single one of us will miss what God has for us without humility. Every single one of us without humility will hinder our own blessings, God trying to get things to us, but our lack of humility hindering it from coming or delaying it from coming. So the thing is, what does he say here? He said, have this attitude, verse 5, in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. What attitude was in him? It was an attitude of humility. And that same attitude of humility, listen, it has to be demonstrated not just vertically to God. It should be. That's the first place. We should be humble before the Lord. But then vertically with each other. Our own humility is reflected in how we treat one another. Can I say it that way? Sometimes people will be humble vertically, and then like maybe with the pastoral staff, they'll be very humble. But then their brothers and sisters, oh no. But the Bible said right here, listen, we should consider the needs of other people as more important than our own. Jesus, at the Last Supper, took a towel, girded himself, got up and washed the disciples' feet. He did that for a reason, to demonstrate humility to them. You remember when they objected and said, you know, we should be washing your feet. Peter said, we should wash your feet. He said, no, I'm leaving you an example. What I'm doing, he said, you don't understand now, but you will understand it later. We can't say we're humble toward God and mistreat one another. I said, I wish I had an amen there. But the Bible says we ought to prefer one another. We ought to consider one another. We ought to consider other people more important than ourselves. And we ought to have that daily attitude of emptying ourselves and considering our brother and sister in Christ. Can I get an amen there? Go with me real quick now to Colossians. There are some 72 different biblical references for humility. We're going to go through all of them tonight. No, we're going to stop after this. But Colossians chapter 3. But there are 72 references. The Bible is full, chock full of information about the power of humility, vertically and horizontally. And let me tell you, we're not going to be all that he's created us to be in Christ. We're not going to have all that he's given to us through Christ. We're not going to be able to do all that he's given us the strength to do in Christ if we don't humble ourselves. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Look what happens next. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. One reason, not the only reason, one reason people have problems forgiving, because they're not humbling themselves. But when you humble yourself and realize just how much God has forgiven us of. Do you realize how much the Lord, the Bible says we should forgive just like he forgave us here. We should forgive just as the Lord forgave you. We should forgive one another, bear with one another. Well, guess what? That's the essence of humility. Humility is having a proper understanding about who we really are in him. We should think highly. The Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. All of our redemptive realities in Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians 1. We should think highly, but we should also think soberly. And when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we should consider them more important than ourselves. The next time you're in conversation with someone, listen to how long you talk. And see if you're giving anybody else a chance to get a word in edgewise. You might have to humble yourself. You might be here tonight and you might be saying, you know, preacher, I'm going through a struggle in some area of my life. I need God's help. But I tell you this, if you humble yourself, God will help you. He will rush to your side. We read there in 1 Peter chapter 5, God opposes the proud, but he does what? He gives grace to the humble. Over and over again, the Bible tells us that God, he will oppose the proud every single time. That's why the Bible said in Proverbs 16 that pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. God's not going to help you if you keep a hard heart. What did he have to do to Pharaoh? He told Pharaoh, he said, Pharaoh, humble yourself and let my people go. Pharaoh refused to humble himself, and that's why all those plagues hit Egypt. God told Pharaoh, you won't humble yourself, I'm going to humble you. And after 10 plagues, those people marched right out of Egypt. God doesn't want to humble anybody tonight. But he does call you and I as believers to humble ourselves. Humility begins always with honesty. But humility always ends with obedience. And so we have to be honest. Honest with God. And if you're here tonight and things aren't right between you and God, listen, he wants you to make it right tonight. He wants you to be humble. If you're not living right, maybe you're a Christian in this place, you know what it means to have received Christ into your life, but you've turned, you've gone your own way, you're doing your own thing now. You know it, God knows it, the devil knows it. Oh, but the Bible says God is rich in mercy. Thank God. And tonight, his eyes are searching to and fro, and the Lord's looking for you, and he's looking at your heart. Is he going to find humility as he looks at you tonight? Or is he going to find you there listening full of pride, watching full of pride, looking full of pride? Oh, but the Bible says if we'll humble ourselves, oh, God will give you, he will lavish his grace upon you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, tonight you need the Lord to help you. You're struggling, you're going through a situation and you want God to help you. And he says if you'll humble yourself, he's going to help you. First, for those you've never maybe received Christ into your life, if you're here and you've never received Jesus, you've never Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Oh man, you can do that tonight. The Lord loves you. The Bible says it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. Let me see your hand. Every head is bowed in here. But raise your hand. Ushers, help me. Raise your hand real big in here. You've never received Jesus. You don't know what would happen to you. Something should happen. God forbid. Something should happen to you. And you have to face the Lord tonight. You don't know what would happen to you. Let me see your hand. Pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to give my life to Jesus. Then are you here tonight and you say, I'm the other person. I've received Christ before, but I know I'm not living right. I know I'm not walking right with Him, and I know I need to make that right. I need to get it right. Let me see your hand here. I want you to pray for me. You say, well, somebody may be looking at me. Yeah, that has its roots in pride. The question is, what is the attitude of your heart? If somebody looks at you, they're going to do that in love. We all love you. But God's looking at you, and that's who you should really be concerned. Let me see your hand. You say, pray for me. I want to make it right with God tonight. I want to get right with the Lord tonight. Thank you. I see your hand. I want God. Thank you. I want to make it right with the Lord. Don't worry about who's looking at you. God's looking at you. And you know what? He loves you. God loves you so much. You say, pray for me. I want to humble myself. I'm going to humble myself. I want to humble myself, and I want God to give me His grace. Oh, He'll help you right now tonight. He's going to help you right now tonight. Said He's going to help you right now tonight. Listen to me. If you should have raised your hand, I just want you to humbly and simply stand up on your feet. I want you to make your way to an aisle and come down here. You didn't raise your hand, but you should have. And if you raised your hand, then I want you just to simply and humbly stand up on your feet. Come out to the aisle and come down here and let me pray for you. I'm going to do just what I said. I'm going to pray for you. Just humble yourself. The Lord's going to help you. He loves you. We all love you. So just come on. Let Him help you. We're not here to embarrass you. But you know God's looking at you and He wants to help you. You know God wants to help you. Come on down here and let Him help you. You can sit there in pride like Pharaoh, and the Lord knows how to, He knows how to humble us if we don't humble ourselves. But we're going to give you just a minute. Come on down here and let us pray for you. You raised your hand. You want God to help you. You want the Lord to minister to you. Come down here and let Him help you. See, God, He cares about you so much. If you only knew how much the Lord loves you. But humility begins with honesty and ends with obedience. God bless you tonight. God bless you. Praise God for your honesty and obedience. Praise God. Anybody else you want to come before we pray with our sister? God's dealing with you tonight. I just want you to lift one hand to the Lord, because that's where your help comes from tonight. I'm just a man, but God's going to help you. Say this prayer after me. Everybody, let's all say it out loud. In the congregation, just point your hands toward our sister here. Let's all say this out loud. Father, we come to you now. In the name of Jesus. You say that out loud now. I come to you now. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. And I just surrender my life to you. Ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me and to make me new again. Father, I thank you for your word that promises forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And I accept your offer, and I'll live for you. So make me the person you want me to be. And I will spend my life living for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that was a long walk down here, but God's got so many great things. Come on, let's give this sister a big hand. He's got some great things in store for you. And one of our prayer partners is going to come down here and minister to you and give you some free materials. And this sister who's coming is just going to give you some free materials, answer any questions that you may have. I know that was a long walk tonight, but you can mark this day on your calendar. Your humility is going to produce God's help in every area of your life. Mark it on your calendar, and you'll see God opening doors for you and working for you in ways that you've never dreamt possible. Introduce yourselves, and she's going to help you and answer any question you have. Okay, let's give our sister another big hand. God bless you. okay, our other anointed sisters are coming down here and brothers over here. And if you need prayer for something, then come on down and talk to one of them. And you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name.